coming up on All Access.
The Carolina Panthers.
Throw down the middle, the catch by Funchess, touchdown Carolina. We're going to run up the middle by Newton, who fights his way to the end zone.
You got to just be absolutely perfect up front. Absolutely perfect.
We know we can't worry about what happened yesterday. Yesterday is over. All we can do is learn from it and try to move forward as fast as we can.
The Dead Sea, being in Galilee, being where Jesus was born, seeing where he was crucified, making sense out of that in your own mind, it's life-affirming.
What's the toughest thing about preparing for this week?
Yeah, well, I think the big challenge would be for the players just physically. You know, when the game was over Sunday, that was really Wednesday night for us in terms of a Sunday game.
No last-second win this week as the Carolina Panthers beat the Patriots at the buzzer. Hello and welcome to Patriots All Access presented by GEICO. I'm Steve Burton. At the quarter pole, New England has a 2-2 record, good for a second-place tie in the AFC East. They are clearly a work in progress, and compared against the always lofty expectations they expect here in Foxborough, there is concern. Things don't get easier, as they must go on the road on a short week to take on a much-improved Tampa Bay team. Before we break down the Bucs, let's go behind the scenes in their loss to the Panthers.
The sounds of the game are brought to you by Bose, the official sound of the New England Patriots.
Come on, baby, let's make some plays out here. Let's be the playmakers of the group today. Playmakers on three. One, two, three, playmakers.
Every one of you knows what you have to do better. Let's play big-time football today. Let's go.
All right, let's play together. O-line on three. One, two, three.
A long ball wide. Butler has the interception at the 25. Butler with the pick for the pass.
Listen, he'll come back to that, but that's a great job. Great job.
Brady throws to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Nice job, bud.
See, Whitaker runs it to the 25-20. Touchdown, Carolina!
Both in the line and on the edges. Too much leaky yardage after the completion. Tackle strong, knock it back, get him into Garden Long. Gotta go out there and hold the ball. We gotta get twice to score the half. Now we've got three timeouts and it's a little one to do that. Put a drive together. Keep playing the way you're playing. Let's go.
Throw down the middle. Touchdown, Carolina. Run up the middle by Newton, who fights his way to the end zone.
We've got to just be absolutely perfect up front. Absolutely perfect. Okay? From here on going forward, that's what we got to do. And see if we can't hold the ball for 12 plays.
Can't get it on one now. Can't get it on one now, one at a time. Get him home! Get the safety!
Give the Diallos runs it left! He beats Seymour for the score! Touchdown, Patriots!
Keep going, let's
He's wrapped up. Yeah. He's taken down. Woo. Sacked by Dante Hightower.
That's the way to work. Good run. That's the way to crush the pocket. Nice job.
Throws to the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Danny Amendola!
Nice job. Way to go, Robbo! Way to go! Way to go! Hell yeah, buddy! Let's go! Nice job, Sonny. Way to go, boys. Way to go! Way to go!
Danny, great job, babe! Way to go!
He's hit by Wise!
The Eagles with the hand. Defense. Automatic. First down.
In Foxborough, tied at 30 with 4 seconds left in regulation. Last second field goal try. Chance will snap it back.
The kick is airborne to the upright. The kick is...
Here's a look back at Sunday's loss to Carolina. With a swing of Graham Gano's right leg and a 48-yard field goal, the Patriots were handed their second home defeat of the season, ending another frustrating afternoon for New England's defense. In allowing 400-plus yards for the fourth straight week, the Patriots were plagued by poor communication, leading to coverage breakdowns and a bevy of big plays. They surrendered 5 passes covering 20 yards or longer, raising their opponent's season total to 18 such completions. The Patriots allowed Carolina to convert 6 of its last 7 third down attempts, including 2 on penalties by cornerback Stephon Gilmore that prolonged scoring drives, the second of which nullified a sack by rookie Dietrich Wise that would have forced the Panthers punt in the waning minutes and prevented Gano's game winner. Before being overshadowed by his counterpart's last-second kick, Steven Gostkowski drilled a team-record 58-yard field goal on the final play of the first half. As the team's all-time leading scorer, Gostkowski now has a franchise-best 20 career makes from at least 50 yards out.
Coming up on All Access.
Firing it deep downfield into the end zone. That ball is going to be knocked down by Gronkowski and picked off by Daron Harmon.
We sit down with Patriots safety and captain Daron Harmon.
We're just frustrated. Just frustrated because we know how good we can be and we're just not playing to it.
And later, faith and spirituality are at the forefront in this week's installment of Touchdown in Israel 2.
The baptism is an outward sign of what has already happened and on the inside of us.
Amen.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access, presented by GEICO. Where do the Patriots go from here? As Dan Rhodes tells us, we'll learn a lot about this team this week.
Gilmore on a third down is called for a hand to the face to prolong a Carolina drive.
For the first time since 2012, the Patriots have suffered 2 losses on their home turf. And after watching Cam Newton and Carolina tear up the Pats' secondary for 33 points, 316 yards, and 3 touchdowns, they had very few answers.
Still trying to figure it out. I mean, it's bad, and as long as it's taken, it's just looking like we're still trying to figure it out. So, I mean, I said earlier, we got to go to the drawing board. We got to go back. We got to look in the mirror.
But there's no time for feeling sorry for themselves, as the Patriots face a short week as they play Thursday night at Tampa Bay.
No one likes where we're at, but what, you know, we're the only people who can do something about it. I mean, 2-2 is not where we want to be. If you want to get to 3-2, we got to play better than where we played the first 4 weeks.
Meanwhile, another week, another tough quarterback the defense has to face. And after watching Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton carve them up the past 2 weeks, something has to improve, or they'll be looking at a 2-3 record.
The most important stat to us is points, and we're last in points. So, you know, that's what it comes down to. You know, our offense has scored more than enough points to win games. So, the key stat is points, and when you're last in that, there's a lot you need to do better defensively.
Yes, the Patriots' offense has been clicking early as they're averaging 32 points per game, but they also realize that it's all about winning, and there's zero finger-pointing.
We're a team. We go in as one, and we come out as a team, and we stick together. I mean, as offense, we can always do better. We just all got to stick as one.
Now, there's not a lot of history between the Patriots and Buccaneers. In fact, it's only the ninth time these two teams will have met when they get on the field on Thursday. The Patriots lead the all-time series 6-2, including a 3-1 record on the road. But the twist, the last time these two teams played on the road, it was London, England. So you have to go all the way back to 1997 to find the last time they met in Tampa, a 27-7 Patriots win. From the CBS scene for Patriots All Access, I'm Dan Roach.
All right, Roachie, thank you very much. Joining me now is Patriots captain and defensive back Duron Harmon. And let me start by saying this. What's the mood in the locker room right now?
You know, nobody likes to lose, but at the end of the day, we have a very tough opponent that we have to go against on Thursday. So we know we can't harp around and worry about what happened yesterday. Yesterday is over. All we can do is learn from it and try to move forward as fast as we can.
Everybody talks about it's a miscommunication issue. What is the issue? Because people are wide open.
Yeah. Like you said, it's a little bit of everything. It's just we got to just be more accountable to where we can't cut guys free down the sideline. So it starts with accountability. I really believe that. We got to be accountable. Everybody has to do their job. One guy can't make up for another guy. Like, literally, we have to have 11 guys just doing their job. Each and every play, being mentally focused, and I think that will help us.
Is it fixable?
Oh, yeah, definitely fixable. And I feel like we got the guys to fix it. So we just have to literally just get back, be focused, try to work harder than what we have been working, because obviously that's not hard enough, and we just got to push the issue.
Are you guys better than this? Do you really feel like you're better than this? And are you mad right now?
Yeah, and that's why I wouldn't say mad. We're just frustrated. Just frustrated because we know how good we can be and we're just not playing to it. It's a lot of self-inflicted wounds. So we have to just, like I said, we got to really just get back to what we were doing years prior.
Does a short week make it more challenging or are you anxious to get right back out on the football?
I would say more anxious to get out there and play again because just anytime, just as a defense talking, anytime you put that type of performance, you got an opportunity to get the ball back to your offense so that they can have an opportunity to win the game for us. And you not do that, it puts a sour taste in your mouth. We weren't good enough to win yesterday defensively. And I really believe that our offense did all they could. And we got to be able to have
our
offense.
The offense, the offense is saying they could do more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a good offense does,
right?
You know? Never complacent, always trying to find ways to get better, trying to find ways to score more. And we appreciate what they're doing, but we're just not holding our own. And we got to start holding our own for us to be a good football team.
Yeah, quarterback putting up big numbers. Now you got this quarterback coming in, Jameis Winston. Mm-hmm. What do you know about him?
Oh, tremendous player, tremendous athlete. Arm strength is incredible. His ball placement is incredible. One of the up-and-coming quarterbacks in this league. Literally got this offense moving since he came into the NFL. I think he has like 50 touchdown passes, like second behind like Luck. So it lets you know that this offense is a passing offense that continually wants to throw the ball down the field, and they trust their guy. They trust him to get him in the right plays. They trust him to make all the right throws and not turn the ball over.
You mentioned trust. Last question. Do you guys trust each other?
Yeah, we trust each other. And that's why I really believe that we're going to get it turned around. We're going to start playing the type of football that we need to play.
Good luck Thursday night.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
All right. Thank you, man. Jaron Harmon, our guest. We'll be back for more Patriots All Access right after this.
To watch for when the Pats and Bucks battle in prime time on Thursday night. Excluding Thanksgiving Day games, this is the Patriots' first Thursday road game in 27 years since playing in Miami in the 1990 season. 17 years ago, the Bucks were the first opponent Bill Belichick faced as Patriots head coach as they beat New England 21-16. And can Tom Brady keep this pace up? On Sunday, he became the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 10 touchdowns with no interceptions in his first four games.
Time now for Coffee with the Coach, brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access. Time to sit down with the coach. And Coach, here you are, four games in. A little bit of uncharted territory. A lot of yards, a lot of points, a lot of big plays given up. What do you make of everything so far defensively?
Well, we need to do a better job in all three areas, offense, defense, special teams, and there's a lot to work on. But, you hit on some issues there. We missed a lot of big plays offensively and not having the impact in the kicking game that we want to have. So we just need to keep grinding away.
Are you seeing new mistakes or are you seeing repetitive ones? And I know I've talked to you before, the ones that bug you are the ones that repeat.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, every team's a new team and got different players. And so I would say, you know, in terms of fundamentals, you know, those could always be better. Yeah. Footwork, hand placement, tackling, leverage. We need to continue to work on those things. A lot of the schematics or those are, you know, specific to the team we're playing.
I've talked to you before, too. I know rules have changed as far as how you can practice, what you can't do. As far as getting on the same page, is it all about meetings now, extra walkthroughs, or does it happen better on when you actually get out there on the field and you can get man-on-man type stuff?
Well, we'll try to make progress in every opportunity we have. So the chances we have to meet or walk through are they're important teaching times, and practice time on the field is important as well. So try to use all of them.
Thursday night game, short week. What's the toughest thing about preparing for this week? Is it the limited practice or just the amount of mental toughness your team's going to have to show and get ready to play, especially on the road? Yeah, you know, we're used to playing these here at home.
Yeah, well, I think the big challenge will be for the players just physically. You know, it's such a short turnaround. You know, when the game was over Sunday, that was really Wednesday night for us in terms of a Sunday game.
True.
So, you know, you just have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then play. So it's really a three-day of preparation week, and 3 days of physical preparation, 3 days of mental preparation. So, you know, we can tailor the game plan down to what we need to do. You know, physically, body needs some time to recover, and we'll, you know, see where we come out on that.
3 weeks ago, you had Drew Brees. You didn't really face a running quarterback. And then you had Watson hit you on a draw. You got caught on one of those draws, maybe some escape plays. Cam Newton seemed like it was more of a called quarterback-type draw. Is Winston a draw runner, or is he strictly want to stay in the pocket? I know you're facing him for the first time, but what do you see on Jameis Winston?
He looks like a more of a guy like Roethlisberger that really wants to throw.
Barrel-chested, I mean, right?
Yeah, he can get away from the rush. He can buy time, but looks like he's more his tendency more is to throw the ball down the field more than it is to take off and run with it. Not saying he can't run with it, but I think his preference is to throw. He's more athletic than Roethlisberger, but, you know, kind of more of that type of big, strong quarterback that's hard to tackle.
Okay, time now for the Ace Ticket Twitter question of the week. Comes from Ace of 57, talking about their tight ends. You have the Brake kid. He's a Harvard graduate. Howard went to Alabama. What do you make of the two tight end set, not to get into academic admissions?
Yeah, they both players are very good. You know, Brate's been very productive for him, said more touchdowns than any other tight end in the last couple of years. He's really a go-to receiver. that complements the middle of the field with DeSean Jackson and Evans. So he does a great job for him. Howard, of course, is a new addition to the team this year. And, you know, he's produced some explosive plays as well. Big, good blocker, big target down the field, good hands, good run after catch. And they've gotten him involved. So really both tight ends are they're both good options. They add a lot to the attack and in terms of both blocking and receiving, and then they have the receivers to go with them. So it's really given Winston a good balanced attack in the passing game.
Okay, if you want to ask the coach a question, you got to follow the team on Twitter, @Patriots, hashtag it AskBB. Bellustrator, a little bit of Mike Evans, I think?
Yeah, you bet. He'll be in there.
All right, good stuff right there. Everybody hang tight. More Patriots All Access right after this. Then we'll do the Bellustrator, a quick one.
Coming up on All Access.
Snap.
Oh, my God.
Throws it left. Wide open Bunches. Touchdown,
Gilmore
Carolina.
Gibbs.
Can the Patriots defense be salvaged?
Yeah, because, first of all, I think that there is enough talent in the secondary, and I think that's really where most of the problems that we didn't expect are happening.
But first, we return to the Holy Land as we continue with Touchdown in Israel 2.
It really raises the hair on your arms a lot of places that you go.
You're watching Patriots All Access.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Gillette, official shave of the New England Patriots. By the Massachusetts State Lottery. Visit a lottery retailer today for the new 5x champions ticket. And by Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner.
High School Coach of the Week, we head up the Linway to Lynn Classical High School and their head coach, Brian Vaughn. The Rams have jumped out to a 4-0 start this season after their 21-19 win over Gloucester.
4-0 isn't easy, and you guys didn't do it with smoke and mirrors.
Presenting the award to the Lynn Classical team is Patriots Hall of Fame linebacker Andre Tippett. The Patriots Charitable Foundation will donate $1,000 to the Lynn Classical football program in the name of Coach Brian Vaughn. Congratulations.
This player profile is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Welcome back to All Access. Last week, we introduced you to a group of Pro Football Hall of Famers who were invited by owner Robert Kraft on a trip of a lifetime to the Holy Land. Touchdown Israel 2 continues now with the intersection of football and faith.
The Dead Sea, being in Galilee, being where Jesus was born, seeing where he was crucified, making sense out of that in your own mind, it's life-affirming.
You see us with the equipment on, you see us with the helmets on, but at the end of the day, we're just human beings that are in need of Christ.
Those are moments that took my breath away, to see that God would have an opportunity for all of us together to experience.
This kind of trip.
Winning.
Well. Yeah, it is. If you have the right people,
yeah,
who you get them to do something that they wouldn't have done if you weren't involved, then that's a turn on for me.
The baptism is an outward sign of what has already happened
and
on the inside of us.
Amen.
Getting baptized in the Jordan River.
I'm going to baptize you, dear brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
It was beyond belief that, you know, a little guy from Texas, the heart of Texas, this could happen beyond my wildest dreams.
Your life will never be the same, and the best is yet to come. Love you guys.
I feel a special connection to the wall. You touch the wall with it, whatever special wish you might have.
Well, the wall was extremely emotional, and you know, I had the chance to put my hands on the wall, and I said a prayer.
It really raises the hair on your arms a lot of places that you go, and you think back. We think about our country and how old our country is, and we're going, wow, this is really old when you go places, and then you come over here and you're just a blip in time compared to what's taking place on these soils.
I can't believe our week is coming to an end. I never remember a group of people that I felt comfortable with and related to more.
I just Googled on my phone the housing project where I was raised. 6,120 miles. And most of those kids in those projects, our destinies wouldn't have gone nowhere. But I had a dream that I would go to the Holy Land one day. And to make that possible, I'd like to tell you and your family, thank you.
Coming from the Ninth Ward in New Orleans, Louisiana, to be in Israel, unbelievable. I grew up poor. I sold popcorn in the Superdome just to watch y'all play. That's the only way I could get in.
I cannot lie. I'm not a Patriots fan. Never have been a Patriots. Even before you bought the team, never been a Patriots fan. You know what, man? All of us knew. I ain't no Patriots fan, but I am a Robert Kraft fan.
Oh, he's a great man. But this whole trip represents the way that he thinks. See, he's a very humble individual. And I can't say too many good things about him.
We need more spirituality in this world. We need people connecting more. If they've had the experience we hope they've had here, that they'll become ambassadors for the state of Israel, the city of Jerusalem, and talk about what a great country it is.
Time now for Turf, brought to you by Gillette. What's up? It's Fourier.
What's up?
It's Zoe. You know what? We're going to talk about communication.
Yes,
it's been
an issue.
We're here doing this bit. I called you on the way over. You answered the phone. We communicated
together.
Yeah,
and we showed up at the right time to get this bit done.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what the issues are and why the Patriots are having so many issues giving up big plays, and it all starts with communication.
Okay.
So here's the ball.
Yep.
So let's rewind me the ball. So you play defense.
I'm defense.
All right, so most of the time these issues happen with some sort of bunch or stack formation. You got one receiver here,
right,
one over here, one on the side, and all they want to do is create havoc, create misdirection. So one guy goes in, another guy comes out, and make it harder for the defense to recognize and understand who's got who, because they're all going in different places.
So the problem is, the guy with outside leverage, and it's whether it was Gilmore, Rowe, whoever, even Malcolm, if you're the outside guy and he's the outside receiver on bunch, never, when he goes down inside, should I turn and run with this guy, because you know somebody's coming outside. You always need an outside edge defender because somebody's going vertical. The purpose of bunch is to do a spot, a return, a drag with the clear out. And it's up to the quarterback on a three-step read, right?
Yeah, so if I go deep right now, somebody's got to take this.
Somebody's yelling, go, you got him, but nobody's getting him. And this is where we're stuck in the middle.
And you'll see on Butler's interception, there was a go, and then there was another receiver that came out to the flat. What Butler did, okay, it was an attaboy. He actually recognized that the play was going deep. and he went over it and just left the flat receiver, but he chose the right decision. So it is difficult, but in the end, if there is any big problems, you just go to some sort of safe
check in the
zone.
Base. It's cover two Tampa. Yeah. Everybody back up, and yeah. You got shell coverage.
Yeah. So I'm going to get going. You call me later.
Where are you going?
You call me. I'll pick up.
Time now for the opponent spotlight, brought to you by GEICO.
It's now time for the opponent spotlight, brought to you by GEICO. I'm Meredith Gorman. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are riding high after their last second win over the Giants last week. Jameis Winston executing at the last second to set up the game-winning field goal for the Bucs. But they're going to need to keep the momentum going on Thursday night when the Pats come to town. It's a big game, a national stage, but the Bucs do have a track record of playing pretty well at home.
Getting a chance to witness greatness in front of us with Tom Brady coming into town. It gets you pumped up. Definitely makes you think about how hard you've worked to get to this point. Thursday night football, you're the only person on TV, and it's in your home stadium. So we're definitely pumped about that.
Even though we haven't gone ourselves against New England a whole bunch of times, when you study them, they're an amoeba defense. They've always been able to adjust. They'll switch at halftime. And so they've always been a very difficult team to plan for. In that respect, maybe it's better that we do play them on a Thursday night.
Now we're going to send it back to Scott Zolak and Coach Belichick in the studio, where they're going to break down the Buccaneers on the Belestrator.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access here on a shortened week. It's Tampa Bay Thursday Night Football. Coach Belestrator, what are we looking at?
Well, defensively, Tampa's got a lot of really good football players. They're very active front and fast. And, one of the guys that's, fans probably haven't seen too much of is Noah Spence, number 57. And here he is coming off the edge. He just can't hold the ball against this defense or against this kind of edge rush, this kind of edge speed. Runs right around the corner there, strip sack, does a great job of getting the ball up. But they have a very good, very good front. And again, a very real good edge rusher here.
There you go. Quarterbacks, get rid of the football. Nobody likes to get hit.
Yeah, there's an open receiver here. You can't hold the ball. You gotta get it to him. It's just, it takes too long, and
sure.
What could be a good play ends up being a turnover. So.
All right, offensively too, they have some pretty nice size on the outside. Guys like Mike Evans, right?
Really, really big guys. Evans is a big, strong receiver. Here he is in the slot, 6'5", 230. So, it's almost like having a tight end out there, throw the ball to him over the middle on plays like this. He's got great, great length, strong after the catch. And, Winston gets out of there on time. These are hard plays to stop when you're talking about throwing at that big of a target, and that strong and physical of a receiver.
Sure. Great feet too, for a guy normally, guy with big feet, it takes him a while to get into route. And here he is in the red zone.
Yeah. Again, same thing in the red area. Big target, tough guy to stop. Single coverage outside. They're gonna like to go to him on this. And again, with a player with this kind of length, there's some place you can throw the ball that is open. So he's always open, even when
right.
He's covered, which this is pretty good coverage here. There's a throw to the outside behind him, and Evans does a great job adjusting to the throw here, getting his feet down inbounds, making a good catch. So. We're going to really have to do a good job with these big receivers and with Winston in the pocket.
All right, Coach, I know you got your hands full tomorrow night against Tampa Bay. Good luck on a short week.
Appreciate it. Thank
all
you.
All right, there you go. There's your Belestrator. More of All Access right after this.
Patriots All Access is brought to you by Bank of America, official bank of the New England Patriots. By Putnam Investments, you, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to Patriots All Access, everyone. Time now for our panel discussion in our Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Mike Reese and Paul Perillo. First question, what DEFCON number are we at?
I don't know, but it's significant. 2, 3, somewhere. I mean, there's some issues. And
DEFCON 3?
Certainly that you're hearing some some words of discouragement from the crowd, as they say.
For sure. And, well, we're not at the top of the show, so it can't be that high, Steve,
good point,
right?
Michael.
There you go.
Good point.
But I would say this. The confidence level is not as high as it has been in the past, because what we're seeing from this team is so different mm-hmm. from what we're used to seeing. Yeah. It's Bill Belichick has used the term below the line. You know, what's acceptable? You know, when he talks about fumbling, I've heard that in the past. And to me, the performance, parts of the performance we've seen from this team is below that line. It's just so unusual to see that.
And here's the thing. We're not used to this. But the good thing, I do want to point out, nobody's pointing their fingers at each other. Right? Nobody's blaming the other guy.
Yeah, I haven't really seen anything like that in the locker room. I haven't heard comments like that. But you do wonder. I don't think it'll be an issue, because I do think they have some strong leadership. But if the offense continues to carry the load here as the best in the business, while the defense is, a lot. You know, Tom Brady's got a passer rating of 116 and change, and Patriots opposing quarterbacks have a passer rating of 116 and change. That can't mm-hmm. continue and succeed.
And look, we're not in the locker room with them other than, 45 minutes a day, 50 right. minutes a day. So we can just judge on a limited sample from what we see. But from what I see is it's still a unified group. Tom Brady said earlier in the week in his weekly interview on Sports Radio WEEI, I remember the early 2000s when we were scoring 10, 12, 15 points a game and the defense was carrying us. It's never been part of the culture here to have that type of divide. You hope, for their sake, it's the same this year.
Off-season acquisitions. Let's go there, shall we?
Underwhelming.
Underwhelming.
Is that a good word?
That's fair.
I think you look at, there's a lot of different guys. I mean, Gilmore is obviously under the microscope this week. He's taken a lot of heat throughout the course of the week, and he had a nightmare of a game on Sunday. So I'm not trying to make, but he's not the only one. Dwayne Allen, I think he played a handful of snaps the other day against the Panthers. They've really gotten nothing out of him. Every time they throw the ball to him, Mike, it just doesn't look right. Brandon Cooks, I think, has been good. But not great. I was expecting a little bit more. There's been other guys that they brought in the offseason that aren't even here anymore. Mm-hmm. Coney Ealy and James O'Shaughnessy. David Harris was inactive. I mean, you really have to search for a guy who they brought in that they're getting major contributions from.
Lawrence Guy, maybe.
Lawrence Guy's another one really has kind of been just kind of out there.
Would you say Gillislee?
Gillislee has been one of their better ones.
Yeah.
I think it's a good reminder that when they make these moves, and generally they're viewed as positive in part because the Patriots have had a lot of success over the years, it's a process. It takes time, and you never can guarantee that transition from one system, one team, to another team. And in a lot of cases, there's a reason those teams have let those players go. And sometimes the Patriots, they come here and those players shine. Other times, it doesn't always work out. And I think that's what we're seeing in a lot of cases.
It's a little bit different system to play in, too, with Bill Belichick. He says a lot to us that I'm not an easy guy to play for. Mm-hmm. And I think, to Mike's point, when you bring in a guy who was developed by somebody else, well, he already is sort of set in his NFL ways. Whereas when you draft a guy and you can develop, you mold him yourself. Sometimes
that may have been Coney Ealy's problem.
Yeah, maybe not as talented as a player as some of the guys they brought in, but not as good a fit.
What kind of test does Tampa bring?
Well, I think under the best of circumstances, with no DEFCONs going on, I think this would be a very difficult spot. A Thursday night road game, the Patriots haven't had very many of those. Mike had a piece last weekend talking about, other than Thanksgiving games, you have to go all the way back to the early 90s for the Patriots to have played a Thursday night game on the road. I think it's much more difficult for the road team in these spots. I think Tampa is a pretty good team. I think they bring a lot of weapons on offense. This is not the kind of team you want to face in a short week when your defense is struggling.
Well, I was thinking the communication problems they've had in the secondary, this is one of the last, not the last offenses you want to see, but certainly if you were to make a list, it'd probably be near the end of the top 10 of, passing games that are going to test you. So between that and the short week on the road, it is a big challenge for them.
Prediction time.
I don't like it. I don't like the spot. I don't like the way the defense is played. And right now I'm in prove-it-to-me mode. I want to see the defense go out and play a better game before I'm going to assume that's going to happen. I think Tampa wins this game 31-27. I still have tons of faith in the offense.
Sure.
So they won't go quietly. They'll have every opportunity to win the game because Tom Brady will make it that way.
But so you're saying the
31-27 Tampa.
You're saying the Patriots are going to come back from Tampa 2-3.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's head versus heart because everything Paul said makes a lot of sense, right? I mean, what have you seen, Steve, that makes you say, I should invest in the Patriots after what we've seen even the last 2 weeks, the win over Houston? I'm a blind faith guy because I believe. You like that pivot, Paul? You liked it. I believe in Bill Belichick. I believe Matt Patricia will figure something. And I believe in the character in the room. And I think if they do try Hightower in that role, that things could look different. So I'll say Patriots 31-24.
Way to go, guys.
All right, Steve. You like that.
Interesting.
You do.
Complete 180. That'll do it for this week's edition of Patriots All Access. For Mike Reese and Paul Perillo, I'm Steve Burton. Have a great week, everybody. See you later.